I don't know. This have you guys ever seen a Bible this big? It might compress this thing. It's, there it goes. Oh man, worshiping God. That's just. If any of you guys know me, that's my favorite part of just coming here is just being able to worship God and just pour my heart out to Him and sing praises to Him. Do you guys might want to open up your Bibles to, let's see here, Genesis 30, verse 29, and we'll be covering 29, 14 through 30, 24. As we were worshiping, God was kind of speaking some things to me. It's like, you know, serving Christ, you know, coming to church and getting involved in the things that that we have here, you know, car washes and stuff like that. You know, it's actually a privilege to be able to serve God. But, you know, and it's fun. It's fun doing the things of God. You know, we have the weekend for you guys. We have so many fun things. Lone Tree, the new eighth graders, Vertical, they're actually in San Diego right now doing Elevate, you know. I mean, living for God is fun, you know. And as we're worshiping, you know, it's like God was speaking to me. And, you know, life is serious, you know. It's a battle for souls, man. We're talking about eternal life. That's, I mean, because if you think about it like this, you guys are from the ages of what, 13 to 15, you know, and statistically, you guys only have about 700 days left to do with whatever that you want to do with. And that's, you know, you figure if we get to live to be 75, we actually have, if you already exclude, you know, you take out the time of sleep and eat and time of work, we actually only have 700 days left, you know, and that's your guys' age. I'm 31 now, so I have way less than, you know, 750 days, you know, to do with. I mean, when you think about it, 750 days, that's less than 2 years' time, you know. That's the amount of time that we have here on earth is nothing, dude. You know, it's amazing. It's, you know, what we do with our time here on earth for Jesus is what matters, bro. Not what our friends think, not, you know, the kind of car that we drive, not the kind of clothes that we wear, you know. And God even promises, you know, that He knows what we need. God was just speaking that to me, you know, as we were worshiping. I just wanted to speak a little bit about some of the car washes and stuff. You know, there's one of my favorite stories about serving God is the story of a stagecoach. Back in the stagecoach days, you had first class, second class, and third class. And you have to actually, first class, you know, any of you guys been on a plane before? Yeah? Well, the first class, you know, you get to eat like steak and, you know, you get hooked up with like all the cool stuff, you know, you get to watch movies and if you're third class, you know, maybe you might get peanuts and some like elevator music or something, you know, it's crazy. But, you know, of course you have to pay more for first class. And so back in the stagecoach days, this guy, he was getting ready to take a trip. And so he takes a look inside and he sees that first, second, and third class, they're all sitting together. So he's like, you know what? I'm not going to pay for first class if we're all sitting together, you know. So he went and he purchases a third class ticket, you know, for the stagecoach. And he thinks that he just made a great deal, you know. He's like, yeah, you know, I only pay like this much for third class. And these guys are, you know, they're fools, man. They paid all this money to be first class. But, you know, later on, as they're on their journey, they're getting to this hill. And so the guy that's running the stagecoach, he makes an announcement. He's like, okay, everybody that's in first class, remain seated. Okay, and everybody in second class, get out and walk. And everybody in third class, get out and push. So he realizes, you know, that the purchase that he made, it was. But the thing is that we need more third class, you know. We need more more of you guys that are willing to get out there and serve, you know, and to do the will, the job that Christ has for us, you know. We're called to be His hands and His feet. I just wanted to mention that. With that, let's just get into prayer real quick. Father God, I thank You so much for this opportunity, Father, to be here and just to hear Your word, Father. I pray that these students, Father, just may not leave here with nothing, Father. That the word that You have to speak to them, Father, just engrave it on their hearts, Father. That they may walk out here, Father, just changed and with a hope and just something to look forward to each day, Father, as they live their life, Father, and whatever that they go through, things with their friends or just the things of the world, Father, that they know that You're with them, Father, and that You love them and you wish nothing but good for their lives, Father. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Okay, and let's see here. I just want to start with this book. I'm actually going to do the story of Joseph. If you guys ever heard of the story of Joseph? Yeah, Joseph is a real inspiring guy. When I was your guys' age, I actually heard the story of Joseph. And throughout my life, I'd always think about the story of Joseph because I went through so much stuff. You know, let me just read here. This is about getting the most out of Joseph. It says, several years ago, I came across Chuck Swindoll's book, Joseph, A Man of Integrity and Forgiveness. Joseph was already one of my favorite biblical characters, so it did not take much convincing to get me to buy the book. The subtitle really confirmed my decision. I thought to myself, that's the kind of person I want to be. Both words speak to the issue of spiritual depth. A person of character, especially in the context of the Christian life, sets himself or herself apart from others by moral uprightness, ethical courage, and the strength to stand against evil. Integrity takes character a step further. And Warren Wiersbe writes his definition of integrity. Integrity is to personal or corporate character what health is to the body, or 20/20 vision to the eyes. A person with integrity is not divided or merely pretending. That's hypocrisy. He or she is whole. Life is put together and things are working together harmoniously. People with integrity have nothing to hide and nothing to fear. Their lives are like open books. They are integers. See, people who have integrity live integrated lives. Their life convictions and their lifestyles match. What they say, they believe, gets worked out in the way that they live. Their actions, values, and behavior stay consistent, whether celebrating Sunday worship with the fellowship of the faithful or transacting business on Monday in the marketplace. Their character distinguishes itself by consistency, whether relating to family and friends on weekends or retreating to moments of isolation where only God sees their actions. And Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones tells the tragic story of the young preacher who preached so well yet lived such an immoral life that people wished that when he was in the pulpit, he wouldn't leave, and when he was out of the pulpit, he'd never return. See, the problem, he lacked integrity. His teaching and his behavior were not integrated. Isn't integrity what every follower of Jesus Christ desires? To be known as a person of deep and honest character, to be characterized as a person of consistent behavior that reflects Christ in us, no matter what the circumstances. And the story of Joseph is pretty amazing. Let me go ahead and I'm going to actually turn there. Let's see here. Definitely not where I should be, but I'm not where I was. Okay, I just want to kind of just throw some questions out here. Did you ever wish that maybe you guys had come from a different family or that the things about your family background were different and your growing up years that you could change, you know, some of the things about your growing up years? You look at other people's lives and their families and you wish that, you know, maybe your life was like theirs or that, you know, you had that car or that you had their house or something like that, you know. If the answer is yes, I can tell you that you're not alone. Many of us, even if we love our families deeply, we think, you know, how life would be different you know, if certain situations from my childhood were changed. And see, you guys are still young. You know, you guys haven't really experienced so many situations. I mean, like with us older guys, you know, like the leaders and stuff and our parents, you know, they've already, you know, if they were to go out and do something bad or as a consequence of their actions, you know, they'd end up in jail. You know, the worst you guys could probably do, you know, is maybe, you know, they do have YDC and stuff like that, but maybe, you know, get some of your privileges taken away or something like that. So the older you get in life, the more impact doing good has in living for Christ, in essence, has an impact on the things that the way your life goes, you know, because it's just my childhood. I actually, you guys are around the age that I was. I have a daughter that's your all's age. She's 11, and I'm 31 now. But when I was your all's age, I know it's kind of hard to, you guys probably think that you'll never be my age, which I can tell you, you guys will someday, if you know, you guys will be the same age as me. Your parents and all of us that are older, we didn't pop out of our, didn't just appear. The ages that we are, you guys are going to be older someday, and you know, the consequences, the things that you do now, have an effect on your future. And I can think back, you know, I don't know, have you guys heard of YDC or Springer? Any of you guys heard of Springer Boys School, the D Home? You guys, see, I was when I was 12, I was in a lot of trouble, and I ended up going to the D Home. I ended up in YDC. I ended up going to Springer, you know. But you know, and I can say that, you know, my life, I had a really bad life. I can say that I always wished that I did live a different life, that my family life was different, because, I mean, I was always, you know, in the D home, and it seemed like my life was just full of sorrow, and I had no direction. You know, I wish now that, you know, I would have had Christ back then, because you guys are that age, and I look at you guys, I'm like, yeah, you know, when I see you guys worshiping the Lord, it's awesome to see you guys worshiping the Lord, because, you know, it's going to impact when you get older. Let's see. I'd say the trait, the characteristic that I learned and that I'm most grateful is knowing that the bad times, they don't last forever, you know, especially when you have Christ. You guys have something that I didn't have when I was your age. And you guys have Jesus, man. I didn't have Jesus, you know, and I had to come and deal with my problems in a different way than you guys do. And so that's awesome, knowing that, you know, that you guys are actually able to have Jesus in your problems. You know, all the pain and the heartache and suffering that I went through, you know, I can tell you, I wouldn't want to change a thing because of this moment right here, right now, you know. You know, I love you guys. I care for you guys. And I come here because I care for you guys, you know. And same thing with these leaders. They take time out of their day. They're here because they love you guys and they care for you guys. I mean, isn't that what it's all about, being family? We're all part of the family of God, you know. And you know, I can speak for myself and the leaders, you know. We want to hear about, you know, your grades and things that you've accomplished. You know, we want to hear about those things. You know, we're excited when you guys are doing good and we see that God is working in y'all's lives, you know. And so anytime you guys, especially if you have any problems, I mean, because we've been through problems. We've had problems. We've already sailed that sea, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, the same problems that you guys have had or going through, I'm sure one of us have already been through that, you know. And we can tell you, you know, we can kind of direct you and tell you, you know, I went through that and this is how I went through it. You know, so just a word of encouragement to you guys, you know, talk to us. You know, we want to know what you guys are going through, you know. And if I could ask God one question about the childhood I lived, my first response would be, why did I have to go through that? But it seems that it would be for the right here, right now. And I'm just thankful I'm thankful that I'm right here, right now in this situation. And I know it's hard to think that our pastors or great godly people that we see around the church, you know, who serve the Lord and love the Lord, that obedience, character, and integrity come easiest to those who grew up in perfect family situations, you know, with wonderful parents and the best home life, you know, and that's not the situation, you know, and well, let's read about Joseph real quick here. It's Genesis 29:14, 30 through 30:24, and we're gonna kind of read a little bit about Joseph's home life here. Okay, and Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone and my flesh." He stayed with him for a month. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters, and the name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful, the form of form and appearance. And see, Rachel was Joseph's mother, and Leah and Rachel were sisters. Okay, now Jacob, Joseph's father, okay, loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you, that I should give her to another man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob. And he went in her, and Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me?" And Laban said, "It must be done so in our country, to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and I will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years." Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as wife also. And Laban gave him his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob also went to Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. He then served with Laban still another 7 years. For she said, "The Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me." Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me his own also, his son, this son also." And she called him his name Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him three sons." Therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now I will praise the Lord." Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she stopped bearing. Now Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children. Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." And Jacob's anger was aroused. Rachel, he said, "I am in the place of God, who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb." So she said, "Here is my maid Bilhah. Go into her and she will bear a child on my knees, that I also may have children by her." Then she gave him Bilhah, her maid, as wife, and Jacob went in her. And Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, "God has judged my case. He also heard my voice and given me a son." Therefore she called his name Dan. And Rachel made Bilhah conceive again and bore Jacob's second son. Then Rachel said, "With great wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister, and indeed I have prevailed." So she called him Naphtali. And when Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, and she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob as wife, and Leah and maid Zilpah bore Jacob's son. Then Leah said, "A troop comes." So she called his name Gad. And Leah, maid Zilpah, bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "I am happy, for the daughters will call me blessed." So she called his name Asher. Well, because of the time, I'm just going to go on. Basically, what happened here is that back in the old days, Joseph's dad, he was working. He made a commitment to work 7 years for a wife, Rachel. Because she was the younger daughter, the dad of Rachel actually gave him Leah, and that's why he was saying, "Well, why have you deceived me?" So he actually worked another 7 years so that he could actually have Rachel as his wife, and which was Joseph's Joseph's dad. And see, this whole time, Leah and Rachel were actually, you know, fighting, you know, to see who could bear the most children. And then they were actually, he actually had sons and a daughter from the maidservants. And so, you know, they were like in this competition for who could have the most kids, you know. And that's just crazy, you know what I mean? If you think it, and you put it in our time here now, you know, it's like your dad, you know, like has two wives and you know, your servants, and you got brothers from like three other different, you know, moms, you know, that's pretty crazy, you know. And if any of you guys have like brothers, you can kind of relate. If you guys have brothers from, you know, from another mom or another dad or whatever, you know, from a different part of, then you guys can kind of relate that. I mean, there was so many. Joseph was one of ten kids. And basically, I mean, it was just crazy. And I mean, Joseph being the man that he ended up to be, which was a ruler, he actually, he helped his dad as a shepherd, you know, feed the flocks and stuff like that. And then his brothers sold him into slavery. We're running out of time here. I got like till 15 after, right? So I got to wrap it up. 12:30? Okay, cool. I was already going to close and I hadn't even started yet. Basically, you know, if you can imagine yourself as one of the brothers of Joseph, why he gets, like, if you put it in a sense, how many of you guys have brothers and sisters here? Pretty much everybody, huh? And how many of you guys are the favorite? How many of you guys, mom and dad love you the most? And he gives you guys all that stuff. She said, see? Okay, yeah. And, okay, how many of you guys are the ones that see your brothers and your sisters getting, like, better stuff, you know, or all the time? Okay, well, you guys, you know, you guys can picture that as Joseph's brothers, you know. His dad, you know, his dad gave him this tunic of many colors, you know. And back in those days, most tunics were, like, around the knee and just a blah color. But his dad just favored him, you know. And we see that, you know, Joseph didn't grow up in a perfect family, you know. And, you know, we see all these things. And, you know, we can relate it to our life. And in Romans 15:4, did you got that up there? It says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." You know, and that's why it's important to study the Scriptures. And I'm sure that you guys have heard many stories of Joseph and other. You know, I'd encourage you to maybe check out the movie. You know, they have some at the bookstore. I got kind of thrown off because of the time. But Joseph, you know, I just want to take a good look at the trials, the hardships, and the temptations, all the painful stuff that Joseph went through, and not only that, but where he ended up. He ended up a ruler, second in charge of Egypt. And as Pharaoh was number one, he was number one under Pharaoh. And as a result of his faithfulness, his obedience to God, his forgiveness, Joseph endured this kind of storm. And God used hardship and disappointments to turn a promising young boy into a seasoned man of God. And I know he didn't get the idea. We didn't get the idea that Joseph enjoyed the storms. We know that he appreciated what they accomplished, for he could say to those who mistreated him. In Genesis 50, verse 20, he says, you know, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." And let me just... You know, how many of you guys have had like real difficult things in your life happen, you know, or it's just, you just break down, you're just like, why? I can remember, you know, just crying out to God, like, why, God, you know, and just crying in my room. It's, and you know, when I look back on it now, it's, you know, I thank God for all that. You know, I didn't thank God that I was, you know, going through the things that I did. But I thank God that I came out like I did, you know. And, you know, in the Bible, he says that God confounds the wise. He uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And I was a fool, you know, just like we all can be. Let me go over in Genesis 37, 1 through 4. There's a little bit of how Joseph was sold into slavery. And see, Joseph was one of Jacob's 12 sons, obviously his favorite. He's hated by his brothers. And Joseph was sold to the slave traders and became a ruler of Egypt. And we can learn how suffering, no matter how unfair, develops character and gives us a deep wisdom. It says in verse 1, 37, "Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. He also made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably about him." You know, can you guys imagine yourselves as one of the brothers and just, you know, I'm sure that favoritism, you guys can understand how that favoritism, you know, created a lot of problems in Joseph's family, you know, especially toward, you know, imagine toward his father even. And, you know, I never had to face the struggle with my own brothers and sisters. I grew up as an only child. At the time, you know, I can remember, you know, wanting brothers and sisters, but, you know, after this story, I don't think I really wanted any brothers and sisters. Jacob used to send out Joseph to keep an eye and send back a report of his brothers, you know, and I can see that, you know, if you know, how many times has your mom said, "Hey, go check on your brother, go check on your sister," you know, and you come back and like, he's messing around, you know, and we're just like, yeah, you know, and it's pretty bad. It's like how his brothers were, you know. And, you know, so Joseph comes back with the bad report. And then later on, you know, his dad sends him out again to go check out on his brothers. And that's when they seen him coming, they actually, that's when they decided and conspired to kill him, you know. But he ended up as a great ruler, you know. And I'm going to close with this just. You know, I just want to let you guys know that all of us here, all us leaders, you know, we're here because we love you guys and we care for you guys. And we want to know, you know, the things that you're going through and the things that you've accomplished. And I just want to say that we love you guys, and let's close in prayer, okay? Father God, I thank you for the students, Father, that you choose to show them your love and your mercy, Father. I pray that as they walk out these doors, Father, that they just be a blessing to their families, Father. And just whether it's a word or just whatever, Father, just may their families see Christ through them, Father. And they just may grow them up to be mighty men of God, men and women of God, Father. We know that that Joseph, Father, Joseph was just a kid, Father. And that we are just students here, Father, that we just want to live for you, Father, and help us to go through trials as we live throughout the day and go through our day-to-day business, Father. Just help us to feel your presence, Father, and to know that you're there to comfort us in times of trials and testings, Father. And I just want to say we love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.